what all of us have done. That's the end of this segment. Now we have until 1 o'clock to wrap up, and the whole planning team has asked us to do an evaluation. It's going to be pretty easy and straightforward. Two questions, and you have half sheets of paper in the middle of your table. On one side, if you would write, what worked? And just name a few things that you think were really outstanding about this conference, that what worked for you. What did we do well? And on the flip side, what would be even better? How could we improve on what we've done this weekend in the future? We have quiet music again for the next 4.5 minutes, and then I'm going to turn it over to Arthur. Please. They'll be most useful if they are legible. Thank you. Okay, thank you for writing your thoughts. You can continue to write if you want, but I'm going to ask Arthur to come up now. He's going to help us kind of conclude things, and right after him, Duncan, and then we'll be on our way out of here by 1 o'clock. Thank you very much. Sound crew.
I think we need to thank Peter and Diana for having organized that beautiful and very participative morning together and helping us all to focus on where we're going from here and setting our individual plans so that this is not just another conference that lets you go back to life as usual afterwards, but will be let you go back to perhaps a different kind of life in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. There's no easy way to summarize the experience we've all been through this weekend. I think we've all found that it doesn't seem like it was just a weekend, that so much has happened and so much has perhaps changed in our thinking and in our approach to these issues that it couldn't all have happened in such a short a time. And yet we did only gather here for those of us who came at the beginning, you know, Friday after lunchtime, and a lot has happened over the weekend. We looked at the spiritual, at the scientific realities, and I think anybody who looked at the facts of climate change as they were presented on Friday and on Saturday morning saw that this is really something that's happening at a scale we've never had happen before in human civilization, at least not since global disasters may have taken place in prehistoric times, of such significance that, in fact, one of our speakers on Friday had just shared a Nobel Prize for his work on climate change, which shows how significant it is now seen at the international level. But the consequences of those scientific realities are really frightening in scope, and they raise enormous ethical and spiritual challenges for us as well. I think the one thing that I missed, we weren't able to do successfully this weekend, was to have a really active presence of the First Nations peoples, the Inuit peoples who are suffering the most. We'd hoped we could have had some here to share on a personal basis what they're feeling, experiencing, and the strengths that they have that could have brought to our discussion here. So maybe at some future IEF conference we can do more to make certain we have that kind of diversity in our discussion that we'd hope to have. And I also regret that we weren't able to get a stronger Francophone community, plus de français pour lequel l'interprétation peut être utile, and not just those who are already bilingual and didn't need the interpretation, because we went to special efforts to make certain that we could deal with all of the Canadian community. And as it turned out, we didn't need that arrangement because those of you who are Francophone also could function in English. On the spiritual imperatives, I think that's really been the focus of our weekend. We've seen that there are enormous human implications of this process of climate change that is taking place, both in terms of us as human beings being the cause of the problem. It's our own behavior, our own consumption patterns that are behind driving this process that is taking place, but also because we're the ones who are going to be the victims. But that being victims will be very diversely shared between the poorest who will suffer the most and those who can more easily adapt and, oh yes, I can afford another kind of vehicle or I can afford to change my lifestyle in some way. It's within my means. It's much more difficult for those who have no resilience, who have no options for change, for whom they will simply suffer that much more as a consequence. And so this is an ethical and spiritual point we must keep in mind as we look at this problem. I think maybe the feeling I had was we're all on this train. It's going very fast, and we know that it's out of control. It's our materialistic civilization of the West. It's going too fast for us to jump off. We can't just tomorrow go back to living like cavemen, you know, and retreat to the wilderness and find a sustainable lifestyle. That's not a practical alternative. So what can we do? We can't get off. It's going to be crashing probably sooner rather than later. How do we try to slow it down at least? What can we do to at least soften the problems that are coming? What can we do to prepare the other passengers for what we see is ahead? Are there other things that we can do with other passengers so that they're not so shocked, upset, or hurt or injured by the challenges that are going to be ahead with this civilization that's so out of control? How do we make ourselves more resilient? But then also, and that's really the focus of what we've been doing this morning as well, What do we do after? You know, what are the next steps? Where do we go from here? And we've all been thinking about that at an individual level. I think it's become clear in our discussions this weekend that none of us has a clear vision of the future. We don't know what's happening. The scientists can't say precisely how climate change is going to unroll, how it's going to affect different parts of the world. There's still a lot of scientific uncertainty in the details. And in the same way, on, you might say, the moral, ethical, spiritual side, we may have a broad vision of a future world civilization, but how do we get from here to there? It's not nearly as evident. But I think what we are perhaps much clearer on as a result of our discussions this weekend is that we're involved in a process, and we have ways we can influence that process. And even if we don't know the ultimate results, we can have a much clearer idea that each of our actions has to be rooted in a certain number of spiritual principles, of basic values, of ethical considerations. We have to be looking at our responsibilities differently, looking at our relationship to each other human being on this planet differently, and taking all of that into consideration in every little step of our lives, not sort of segregating things. You know, we live one way during the week, and on the weekend we do something else. So we go to our church, we go to our synagogue, or we go to our temple, or, you know, our Baha'i center, or whatever, and there we are one way. And then we go back to living in material civilization and enjoying its benefits and not thinking about it, you know, the rest of the week. We need to be able to integrate much more all the dimensions of our life. So there's that an individual challenge that we have to prepare ourselves for some kind of moral leadership in this area. We have to learn how can we be leaders ethically and spiritually and in our own lives, our own examples, for the changes that are needed. We need to prepare our children because they're the next generation. They're going to inherit the problems that we're creating. And so we have an important responsibility as well to say, what can we do with our children, with our young people, both to help them to establish another set of values as the foundation for their lives, another vision what they want to do with themselves, other concepts of careers and where they will go and how to prepare themselves for their life ahead. We need to prepare our communities. This is going to be a challenge for every community. And communities that have more solidarity, that have built bridges among the different groups in the community, the old and the young, you know, the Christian, the Baha'i, you know, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the, you know, the immigrants and the people from the country, the local people, those who come from other parts of Canada, whatever country you are in, and so on. Because the more we have solidarity, the more that we have awareness, the more that we have a sense of community, the better the communities themselves will be able to resist and grow and develop and grow positively from the challenges that are coming in the time ahead with climate change. We also saw that we need to be looking with a much broader vision at the world, preparing the world, and those who are able to work internationally, to have an influence in international processes, to say, what can we do to move towards stronger international governance of these issues? Are there ways, things that we can take at these larger scales? How can we influence those processes? How can we give them ideas, even a sense of hope? When they are tearing themselves apart over national interest, what can we do to bring them together again? What can we do to give them a broader vision? And those who are involved in activity at that level need to make efforts as well to say, there's a challenge ahead, there's a way we can be of service as well to help our world society find its way forward at this time when nothing is very clear, where change is coming very quickly. And we need to build many more partnerships. This is not the kind of problem that any one group can solve by themselves. Any one nation, any one culture, any one generation, any one religion, only by all of us working together, all of us finding those points of common understanding and agreement and reaching out to others and helping them to understand that, you know, the business community, the private sector has a role to play, people in government have a role to play, people in the faith communities have a role to play. Everybody needs to find ways they can become part of a process of going ahead together, facing these challenges and finding our ways ahead. And I hope that we can all therefore be developing, growing our visions of the future in a constructive and positive way. This is not something that needs to be depressing. Yes, there are going to be challenges. Yes, there'll be difficulties. But we need to be looking beyond that period of turbulence to say, where do we come out from these rapids on the other side? There will be calm after that. How do we prepare ourselves for that vision of going ahead? And how do we share the multiple dimensions of that vision that each of us in our own way, in our own context, can contribute to it, whether through a contribution from the arts, a contribution from science, a contribution from faith and belief and religion, all of those things that we can help to bring together and make it to grow together as parts of that multifaceted vision that we need of a better future that's certainly going to be ahead. I hope that also we can do this with the spirit of hope and enthusiasm that the Otesha Project showed us. Those young people who weren't burying their heads in the sand, but they were out there convincing their generation that there were other ways of doing things. And I think all of us from all generations need to try to draw some energy from that and say, how can we go forward with that kind of a spirit? And then I think finally, can we all become like links in the chain? Because that chain together is what will allow us to go ahead and be strong and to be creative and imaginative as we find solutions to the challenge of climate change. Just in closing, I want to thank very much the organizational committee that put all of this together. Those of us in the Environment Forum, we're a very small organization. We have very limited resources, and we have a partner like the Canadian Baha'i community that comes forward with people who've put in time and dedication at the local level, at the national level, to conceive this, to find the right people, to make this happen as we can. We greatly appreciate everything that Deanna has done on her side, that Duncan has done, and you know, he paid for it by being elected a member of the International Environment Forum's governing board as a result. And we welcome him to the board, and we'll appreciate his contributions. And Susie Tamas and all the support we've had from the national Baha'i institutions here in Canada to make this happen. And, of course, the members in the IEF side, Sylvia Carlson and Peter Adriance and Tahira Naylor for the Baha'i International community, who have all together made this into the event that it's been. So from the IEF side, we're very appreciative of that. I'm not able to thank all of the individuals who worked behind the scenes at the technical side, so I'll leave that to Duncan to do that because that's the compliment. But thank you all very much, you know, for coming from the IEF side, from contributing so much and taking something back. And so let's all go from here as links in a chain together. Thank you.